In the Lab, a Texans podcast that takes a different look at things. Drew Doherty and John Harris have their lab coats and goggles on and the Bunsen burners burning. Here's Drew.
In the lab time right now, Drew, John, good to be with you. We appreciate you listening, watching, whatever you're doing. And John, how are you, first of all?
Doing okay. Good. Hanging in there. It's it's late March, I know that. And I'm knee-deep. I think last night I was watching a safety from Ohio State at like midnight, trying to get, because I had made a point. I was doing a certain number of players. He was the last player that day, and it just took me on into midnight. So I don't know if what I wrote makes
sense. Just Ohio State players, or what were you doing?
It just happened to be that player. I don't know why. I was Josh Proctor from Ohio State. Really, you know, good athlete, and, you know, excellent build and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, might be a guy that Texas could look at on day three, you know, add to the special teams and bolster the safety. The safety depth chart, if you will, but you know, free agency's done plenty of that, bolstering depth charts. So we'll see kind of how all that goes. But man, a lot of news happening with the Texans. It's crazy, dude.
Yeah, let's start there. You brought up special teams. Special teams is getting impacted externally in a huge way because of the new kickoff rule, and basically, it's the new XFL or it's the XFL kickoff rule. Which if you haven't seen it, there's basically two lines facing each other. And they're really, really close on the kickoff, the receiving team's end of the field. And you don't have to boom it as far and as hard. You can if you want. But if you kick it out of bounds, you give them a touchback at the 30. But what this does is it probably eliminates any more Andrew Beck kickoff returns for a score, which I just tweeted. So we're not going to see Andrew Beck getting loose like he did. But I think it's probably going to make things a little bit more exciting on kickoff returns, because it's almost like more like an offensive play, really, because you can kind of scheme some blocking schemes up that are a little different and so on and so forth. And you can speak even better to this, but I'm cool with this. I'm a little sad I won't see the old kickoff, but this will be kind of interesting, don't you think?
Oh yeah, interesting is definitely the word, and I'm not totally sure
how interesting way too much in this forum.
Yeah, maybe,
but it's a good word for this.
This one's kind of like a, you know, that dog head turn when he or she sees something like, what? It's kind of like that, like, okay, let's see. And the reason it's interesting to me is how teams are going to attack this. Are they going to because the players are so close, the defenders and the blockers are so close. I've seen some XFL teams that run like some sort of almost like an offensive scheme, you know, the way that they're trying to block that. And I would imagine that when Frank Ross first heard of this possibly happening, he sat down and started doodling and watching XFL film. You know, what did good teams with returners, what did they do? And you're right, it does eliminate an Andrew Beck sort of return. So we'll always have Andrew Beck in Jacksonville, the play that I think turned the season around in 2023. But what it also does is it brings back the return into the game, because in all honesty, in college football, there are very few returns now because of the fair catch rule. And coaches are just like, no, we want the ball.
I don't like that fair catch
rule. I mean, you know, we had that last year in the NFL, and I'll never forget, like second game of the year, the Colts have a, you know, they waived a fair catch. And I just remember my heart dropping like, whoa. Oh
yeah.
Okay. And I thought it was a great kick by Kaimi. Just fair catch. So I hated that rule too, but you don't have as many returns in college. And so, and I think teams in some sense have gotten away from putting a really good returner back there. Well, I'm curious to see now how NFL teams will do it. Who will they put back there? What does this bring back in that particular position? Because that used to be a value. Like, I would put in a draft report, hey, this guy's got kick and punt return ability. I don't know that I put that in many scouting reports that I've done thus far. And I've done almost probably 210, 215 reports. I don't know that I've put in there, oh yeah, punt and kick return skills like that. I mean, and I don't even know if a guy has to have kick and punt return skills. You know, it might just be a number three running back you want back there, a guy that can at least just catch the ball and then run like a running back. And that's, you know, kind of the Damian Pierce theory. Like last year, Damian catch the ball. Now he obviously gets a buildup speed, but you know, he's very difficult to tackle. So maybe that becomes the role of the third running back. Maybe that becomes the role of the fourth or fifth wide receiver. You know, a guy that's got good return skills. You know, does this increase the value of a guy like Devin Duvernay who just went down to Jacksonville? I don't know. I'm really curious. Keyshawn Nixon's one of the better return guys with the Packers. And so what does that bring for him? And what does that open up for him? Maybe it doesn't open things up. Maybe he needs a little bit more runway to be able to make a move. I don't know. So I'm curious how teams are going to, how they're going to defend it. I'm curious as to what they come up from a creative standpoint. So I guess the next one now is what happens with the onside kick. Are they going to give teams, I know one of the teams, I can't remember which one it was, proposed the 4th and 20 from the 20, your own 20. I think that's what it is. And I was like, I love that rule. I love it. Because I've been there on onside kicks, man. That's one of the scariest things I've ever been a part of in sports, ever. And I've faced 95-mile-an-hour fastball, man.
You're saying when you're on the field as a player, yeah.
Oh, I hated the onside kick. I hated it as a coach. I hated it as a player. Hated it. So I like the opportunity to go get the ball again on onside kick, but you put in that 4th and 20 rule because I don't know how you onside kick with this thing now. I don't know how that goes. So there'll be some things that have to get kind of worked out. But, you know, the first game of the year will end up featuring the Texans. So we'll find out right away.
Wait, what? Yeah, if you didn't hear, the Pro Football Hall of Fame game, the Texans are going to be in it against the Bears. It makes so much sense because Andre Johnson going into the Hall of Fame, he was a Texan. You got Devin Hester, a former Bear, going in, as well as Mongo, Steve McMichael. That guy, if you're watching or listening to this and you don't know really much about him, just go to YouTube and look up Steve McMichael. Character with a capital C. He was a part of that phenomenal 85 Bears defense, but really almost all of the 80s into the early 90s, he was a force there on the inside. Then he went into the WWE. He was a wrestler. Yep. He's always got like the good personality and good perspective on things when you see the interviews. Sadly, he's fighting Lou Gehrig's disease, but he goes in, as well as Julius Peppers played with the Bears for a few years. So with three former Bears, a Texan, and the Texans haven't been in it since 2002, first year of the franchise. So they were kind of due, and that's going to be fun. That means they have 4 preseason games as opposed to just 3. Don't know how much we'll see of the starters. Probably not much because it's so very early in August. But nonetheless, first bit of football, we'll include the Texans. And that's not a bad thing. It's on Thursday night football. I can't wait. You can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun, John. It's going to be a great weekend because you get the game on Thursday and then Dre going into the Hall on Saturday night or Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty awesome situation. And, you know, looking forward, I've never been to the Hall of Fame. And,
me either.
You know, it got to a point where I was like, you know what, I'm just going to come up here with – you know, when a Texan gets in the Hall of Fame. And so when Andre got in the Hall of Fame, I was like, please put us in the game so we can get a trip up there to Canton. I would, you know, I'm looking forward to that so much. To see Andre going in, you know, the game itself will, you know, are always fun. And, you know, for us doing the game, it gives us a chance to kind of work the kinks out. It does move everything up. You know, it's going to probably start training camp a week earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So that will change things a little bit, kind of changes things, you know, for us having to do, you know, Monday radio, or not Monday radio, but morning radio for training camp. But look, I think a lot of people are really excited about this 2024 team. And I think last year, the Ravens were in it. I want to say the Ravens were in it. And,
can't remember.
You know, they played all the way to the AFC Championship game. So this is just going to be, I think, a situation in which a lot of, you know, twos and threes are going to get a look. A lot of rookies are going to get some looks. And, you know, you're going to face the Bears during the season, so you're not going to give them anything. It's just an opportunity to, you know, get some younger guys the opportunity to scrimmage against, you know, a Bears team. And I would hope that Matt Eberflus and DeMeco will sit down and say, hey, we're not playing our ones. You know, here's what we're doing. And so you don't get a situation where, you know, the Texans are playing their twos and threes and the Bears are like, nah, we're all in ones. Here we go. Yeah, so either way, hopefully they'll get that worked out. But either way, I don't mind it. In fact, I called for it. I wanted it because I wanted to see Drake go into the Hall of Fame. And hopefully a few years after that, we'll all find a way to get to J.J. Watt's Hall of Fame and enshrine it as well. So just really looking forward to that entire weekend and everything that goes to the Hall of Fame and just soaking all that in.
Can't wait. It's going to be cool. Like you said, I've never been to that one. I've been to the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, and that's
– I have too.
Tremendous.
I have too.
Now, granted, it was in 1990, and I was 13 years old. So
that's a cool place.
Awesome town, USA. Yeah. All right, let's kick into this. you and I text back and forth a lot. And last night we were going back and forth about this. I was running mock draft simulation. And now that the Texans have moved back, and even before they moved back, the situation comes up quite a bit where at 42, a guy like Tavondre Sweat is available. The massive defensive tackle, nose tackle from Texas is there. You're a big fan of him. I've seen his stuff. Boy, oh boy, he's exciting. You wonder, you know, what's he going to look like in the pros? But wow, that's an intriguing fit on this defense. So there are times when he's there, and then you do the next pick, and usually you go some other direction, like there's a good wide receiver or a good safety available, and that's something that I typically do. But then you get down to 86, and there's still, like, Jenkins is available from Michigan, or Hall from Ohio State, or somebody else, or Fisky. I mean, they're not that Fisky's going to be there, but there's another really, really, really good defensive tackle who's rated very, very highly that slipped. And it's like, well, what's to keep you from getting a guy who's got a different skill set, is not that massive dude like Sweat, and taking him? Or vice versa, Sweat's gone early, and so you go with one of those highly rated D tackles that I just mentioned. Rugarororo, he's another option. And then you do another pick. And then McKinley Jackson from Texas A&M, and a big, big dude is available late. Why not go that route? Do you see that being a possibility, going a big and a small at the defensive tackle spot in one of those first four picks?
I sure do. And, you know, I know that, you know, bringing in Foley Fatsikasi, you know, he's 320 pounds, you know, that's going to help. And, you know, Foley's pretty quick, you know, for a guy that size, just kind of watching him in the games against us, you know, he can move pretty well. So, you know, that's, you've gotten a little bit bigger, but I don't know that you've gotten big enough. And I think Foley's on a 1-year contract, so you just don't have big youth. So, or young bigs, depending on how you want to put it. So to me, I don't have any issue with going big, big. What I don't want, or I don't foresee, and this is one of the issues that you've got to, and you will encounter with this particular draft class. There are really only a couple of just true bigs, and that's McKinley Jackson, Tavondre Sweat, and there might be a few, you know, down the road. But as far as just
who are the names bigs, down the road? Who are the name, the bigs, bigs down the
well,
road?
Well, man, like, you know, I say that, and I don't know. Well, let me take a look at, I say that, but as I think about it, you know, just come in. There really aren't that many, you know, Zion Logue from out of Georgia, is 315 pounds, but you know, Justin Rogers from out of Auburn is 330. I want to say I saw him at the Senior Bowl and I thought there were some good things from him, but you just don't have a ton beyond that as well. Fabian Lovett, Jordan Jefferson. There's been a lot of Jeffersons at LSU. I thought Jordan Jefferson from LSU was really, really good in the Senior Bowl, topping out at 315 pounds. So, you know, the thing is, when you start looking at kind of the other, you know, players, you know, 297, 302, 284, 296, 306, 291, 290, 303, 299.
Jackson and Sweat.
Well, it's, it, you know, like we talked about a few times, things have changed.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not a position that colleges are putting big guys at anymore because they're taking those guys and like, look, we can't play defense against this, you know, blazing fast offensive unit. We've got to be able to fly up front. Now we got to be able to hold our own. So you can't just go 250 across the board. You know, you do have to have some size, but if you're putting a guy with some size on the field, you know, it's got to be, you know, 280, 290, and a guy that can move a little bit. You know, a rarity now is becoming a McKinley Jackson, the Tavondre Sweat. Those guys are moving over to the offensive side of the ball. So hopefully that'll change in the future. You know, I think about, you know, next year's group, Nazir Stackhouse from Georgia's, you know, 320. You know, he's a guy inside, but there's no Tavondre Sweat. Not that I can think off the top of my head, but you're just getting sleeker. Now, you still have guys that are strong and explosive and twitchy and those kind of guys. You know, a guy like Braden Fiske. I mean, his numbers athletically are off the charts, and he's 292. But there comes a point where, because the offenses now have 320, 325, you think about our offensive line. Our offensive line, you know, it can average 315 up to 317, you know, depending on who's on the field at any one time. But, you know, our guards can be pretty big. Well, if you're giving up 25, 30 pounds to them consistently, you know, that's going to be tough. Now, they're quicker. You know, you can't see what you can't hit what you can't see, sort of thing. So if they move well, that's going to be tough. But you can only do so much of that. But that's what the colleges are providing now. So there are a few bigs a little bit later. But I think in looking at that, if that is, I don't want to say a concern, but if that is something that you want to look at, you want to add to your defense, you want to get some size, you may have to overdraft one of those guys because there might be a few other teams thinking the same thing. So we'll see how that ends up going. But I would think, just my gut tells me that one of Tavondre Sweat or McKinley Jackson will end up with the Texans. Just my gut. But I also feel like you're right in the fact that could they go big? Yeah, I think they could. Because let me clarify.
I'm saying massive and big. Like only big, one of big. Sweat and Jackson, not both Sweat and Jackson.
Like capital big.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like big. Caps know, that big. Sort of thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because to me there's a little bit more of those type players. As I just ripped off, you know, Chris Jenkins, 299, Fiske, 292, Leonard Taylor, Miami, 303, Mike Hall, Ohio State, 290, Gabe Hall, Baylor, who I like, 291, Keith Randolph, 296, Mekhi Wingo, 284, I don't even know what position he plays, Dwayne Carter, 302, Justin Boygby, 297, who I like, Tyler Davis, Clemson, 301, Jaden Crumbity, Mississippi State, 301. I mean, you know, in today's game, 301 is not massive.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to get to a point where that's what we have in today's game, that the 320s, 330s end up going over to the offensive side of the ball. The 320s and the 330s that you end up having staying on the defensive side of the ball end up being freakazoids. And, you know, it's going to make them probably, you know, there'll be a higher depending, but I would imagine there's going to be a higher demand for, you know, some of those. And that's why I feel like Tavondre Sweat, McKinley Jackson, because they're kind of the two of the bigs. They're probably going to get, I don't know, overdrafted, but maybe drafted a little bit higher than some of these mock draft simulators think.
All right. It's always fun talking with you. We get into much more, but in between now and then, enjoy your Easter, John.
Hope yes.
Hippity hops and brings you some nice jelly beans and Reese's peanut butter cup eggs. Sound good?
Yep. Easter's going to be a big day.
Big
day.
All right.
Remember Breaking Bad? One of the best scenes of Breaking Bad last season?
I never saw
it. Breaking Bad.
Yeah. I've seen a few seasons, but I haven't seen the one.
If you know, Walter White likes his breakfast with a number on it. And so that last season is going to be a number I hit on Sunday. So we'll see.
Okie doke. All right, John. Always good to be with you. Thank you.
Man.
Thank you for listening to In the Lab.